Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back with Beach & Company. Hello there. Interesting things happening today. Woo! Now, deal of the day. Zigzag across the Erie Canal on zip lines that speeds up to 40 miles an hour for half the price only on the Niagara Zipper. Kids and adults save 50% on the Niagara Zipper Adventure. It's today's deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com. Obviously, today being the first day to file the extension here in the Child Victim Act, and the cases are starting to show up now. And who knows how many they'll end up with, because there's a year that this is open. 1 year. So I have a couple of questions. Do you still have faith in the Catholic Church? Yeah, just remember, you have the people that committed the sins. That's one aspect of it. But you also have their supervisors, mainly bishops. And they covered up. They moved them to different locations. They kept it quiet. They made a business decision. A business decision not to make public. It certainly would hurt with attendance and donations and things like that. And they can justify it, I guess, by saying it allowed them to help more people. But I think most people would take it personally if they were involved with it. And does money make it better? No. A lot of people now, because we've had so many frivolous lawsuits, a lot of people assume that most lawsuits are frivolous unless they have definitive proof. Now, I don't know what kind of proof will be offered in these kinds of cases. I guess it would vary. But what I'm saying is it's awfully hard if a child is saying that a person is saying when they were a child that they were violated. I don't know how you turn your head and say they're just doing it for the money or anything like that. I'd like to hear from you, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236. Star 930. Here's a text. Sandy, I totally agree with Mary. A horrible injustice was done to the victims, and they are finally heard and will be compensated. The good priests, and there are many, are lopped off with the bad ones in people's minds, which is not fair. Please defend them as well. I think that any logical thinking person will say that the overwhelming number of priests are fine people and do good work. However, it doesn't take a lot on the other side to spoil the whole group. And I don't know how you separate them. I really don't know, because when these names became public, many people were shocked. Oh, he's great. He's been like a member of our family and all this stuff. And they can't understand it. And if they can't understand it, I'm sure we can't.
You know, we're talking about the emotional scars that's left from victims who were abused. And we talked about how do you put a price tag on it. What would be, for a lack of a better term, more rewarding? The perpetrator going to jail or receiving a settlement?
See, I think that it was a crime. Now, they're not going to be prosecuted like that, but to me, those were crimes that I think would call for jail time. Nobody's talking about jail time now. Some of these things are 30 or 40 years old. Statute of limitation on some of them have come in, and a lot of people don't want to go through that publicly with their name and face known, whatever. But I think had they been treated as crimes right away, when they happened, then it would have had less of them happen. Because priests don't live in a bubble. If all of a sudden some priest that they happen to know is arrested and brought to trial and sent to jail if they're found guilty, don't think they don't know that and don't think about that. And I think that could be more of a deterrent. But they didn't do that. And also, did you ever hear, now, we all live our lives and we file away things in our mind. We don't remember everything that's ever happened to us. But I don't recall one single instance where a priest stepped down and quit the priesthood because he knew this was going on with another priest who was not punished. I've not heard one person take the collar off and say, I can't serve anymore. I know one of my fellow priests has committed this grievous sin, and I nothing is going to happen. There's going to be no punishment for it at all, and so I'm leaving. Have you heard one of those cases? No, neither have I. So it was a grand conspiracy, really, and the church, in the final instance, the church made business decisions, all right? And here's a church that teaches you week in and week out, don't worship the almighty dollar. How many times have we heard that? How many times have we heard that? That was even brought up in my wedding ceremony by a Catholic priest. I mean, so we've heard that a million times. We don't want you to worship the almighty dollar. But by making the decisions the way they did, by covering them up, what were they doing? That's exactly what they were doing. So you got to sit down and think, okay, now I'm going to confession, and I'm going to confess my sins. The bottom line is I'm going to confess something that the priest shouldn't be doing, and bishops shouldn't be doing, and the church shouldn't be doing. That's making business decisions with moral challenges like this. So I'm glad they kept records, because those records obviously made possible to be accessed by the courts and the defense attorneys and the prosecutors. I'm glad we're cleaning this up. The bishop had to make a statement, which we just played, saying your children are safe at the church. Isn't it sad that they have to put out a statement like that? Did you wonder, will my children be safe at the church now? Because I think it's almost impossible to think that every single pedophile is going to become public. I don't think that's reasonable to think that, because it's not going to happen. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Right at 12:01 a.m., we had four teams of paralegals that were filing lawsuits. We filed 83 lawsuits by 2 a.m.
Let's get a couple of texts here. Text number is 30930. This text says, the only real winners in this sad scenario are the lawyers. They seem to go to any length to get clients, even going so far as claiming they too had been abused. So there is an opinion there. Let's go to our friend Dan in West Seneca. Dan, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Sandy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my frustrations with all of this that's going on right now. A little background. I'm 72 years old. I was educated in the Catholic school system through 12th grade. I had a direct relationship with a priest from he was a member of an order and became principal of one of the Catholic schools in the area. And he was identified as an abuser, and it just shocks the heck out of me, because I almost worked for him. And I had him in my own home, very close to many of the guys that I hung around with. And it's just very frustrating on my part. I don't know what to do. I read with great interest the article in Monday's newspaper, Another Voice, asking Catholics to boycott, not give to the church. And I speak with my friends and associates, and, you know, they want to bury it. You know, they think it'll just go away. I never suffered from sexual abuse, but I can tell you this. I felt the hand of nuns and priests, and that's another issue. And it leaves an impact on you for all of your life. The fact that I'm still talking about something with people that happened to be back in fourth grade says a lot about me, I guess.
Nuns with rulers. Yes, go ahead.
And with open hands.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen men in particular, my brother, lose faith because of all of that, you know, no longer want to be a member of the church. So I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. I don't know what it's going to take. But I find it horrible that we're still supporting, the church is still supporting some of these people who have been removed.
Well, you know, the church is a vehicle to get to heaven. I think most people think of it like that. But it's not the only vehicle. There are other churches that you might feel more comfortable in. And I do think it's very difficult on the good Catholic priests who are kind of lumped in with the bad ones, and that's grossly unfair. And the church does a lot of good work. We can't forget that.
Yes, it's interesting you mention it. You know, I can remember having a priest speak to us in seventh grade saying, the only way you can go to heaven is to be a Catholic.
Yeah, well, that's what they used to say, and I always wondered about that. Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it. That was Dan in West Seneca. I thought it was our Dan from West Seneca. So there's more than, now we learned, there's more than one Dan in West Seneca. Here a Dan, there a Dan, everywhere a Dan. 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, star 930. Yes, remember, if the goal is to get to heaven, there is more than one road. There is more than one church. And so you think that, think about that. Get acquainted maybe with other religions and see what they have to offer, see if it fits your life. But I don't think you should just stampede out of the Catholic Church because of the because of a relative handful of people. I know any would be too many. I know that. I understand that. But the bottom line is there's still a very small percentage. But my ire goes as much to the hierarchy of the church as it does for the people who have committed these sins, because they could have at least slowed it down. They may have been able to stop it, and they chose not to. They chose to hide it. They chose to do what they tell you not to do. They have you come to them to confess your sins, yet their sins they bury. So something's wrong with that. I think if you're a relatively fair person, you'll say they shouldn't be committing any more sins than anybody else. And to hide it makes it even worse.
Covering up a crime is disgusting.
It is a crime against children.
Right.
It's the worst. And not only that, it's doubled because of their position in the minds of the people who attend the church. They're almost considered gods. I know they're not, and don't ask to be, but that's to some people, they're like that. And they don't want to think that they have any responsibility on something like this. It's their people doing it, and they're not stopping it. They're making really no major attempt. Their biggest attempt is to get it out of the front headlines of the paper. Something's wrong with that. Let's go to Liz in Grand Island. Liz, you're on WBEN.
Hi, Sandy. Just want to offer a slightly different angle.
Sure.
About what has aided and abetted the subculture that we're seeing, the horrible fruits of here. You know, in my mind as a Catholic, priests are supposed to be set apart. And I mean, in their behavior, in what they show they believe, they're right. Supposed to be role models. And instead, we're seeing so many of them, they have been in the absolute dirtiest places. They used to be, you were talking about this earlier, they used to be so tied up in serving families and administrating the sacraments. They would have had no time for what I'm going to complain about here, these kind of side lives that they have. And I'll give you an obvious example, and I'll give you a little bit more subtle one.
Okay.
But on the Anderson Associates website, where they're listing these violator priests, Father John Aurelio is listed as having been suspended in 2003 after admitting to sexually abusing children with Father Mack. What's not really well known, or that you have to read further, is that they had a home together in East Aurora. So my question there is, how many more of these priests, you know, they have cabins, they have kind of, they lead lifestyles, motorcycles and other, you know, elaborate hobbies and things that they go way outside of the lifestyles that I as a Catholic would expect. They need to be focusing, first of all, on their vocation, what their vocation demands of them. And I think that when they fail to do that, over the years and generations, this kind of spreading out into the community, into these private hovels that they have and getting further away from their vocations has allowed this looseness and this lack of accountability and lack of transparency, where now all of a sudden they're doing these horrible deeds together, moving in together, and then committing these horrible acts against children. Not all of them, of course, but we have a concrete example of one. I want to know how many more.
Well, they're not cloistered, and I'm thinking that if you're a priest, you think from the church, not spiritually, but worldly, they don't get a lot in remuneration for being priests. So if they have an opportunity to get, as you mentioned, a motorcycle, if they have an opportunity and they can afford it and get one, don't hold that against them. But I think what you're talking about has a lot of valor. It's valid because they want a more normal, quote-unquote, life. But when it becomes way apart from their normal duties and their devotion to the church, and that's way they're exposed to more things. I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
I am. I'm saying that the more they get involved in the secular aspect,
right?
You know, I have nothing against certain hobbies and things that they have, but the fact is what are they investing a good deal of their time in, and where is it leading some of these people? You can follow the trail there.
Yeah, you know, and they're human beings, so maybe they just get used to the non-church aspect of their life and more in the secular.
Correct.
You said you had a second example for us.
I'm not going to name the priest. It's easy enough to find.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
That he is an administrator at a parish, and he was on the news recent within the past year for rollerblading into Mass. And that was celebrated because it was, you know, framed in the way of he's trying to encourage, he's trying to connect with the parishioners and be lighthearted. Again, in the mind of a Catholic like myself, or according to the norms of celebrating Mass, that's an abomination.
You and I think you and a lot of people, including myself, feel that they have to be more priest-like and less worldly. I have to run, but thank you for bringing up your point of view there, Liz. Appreciate it. We'll be back with more on News Radio 930 WBN.
About letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back with the Beach and Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Do you still have faith in the Catholic Church? Does money make it better? And I'm adding a third one because somebody said, please defend the good priest. I'll be happy to do that because the good priests do a lot of good work. Tell me something good is the third question. Tell me something good about a Catholic priest beyond, you know, going to Mass, you know, daily or weekly and going to confession. Take those out and tell me the other things. Did they visit you in the hospital? Did they help you with something? Did they give you a console when somebody died? Anything like that that really impacted your life or that was, you know, just a good thing to do from people who do good things, all right? So we'll give you a fair share to jump in there and tell us some good things, too. Let's go to the other Dan in West Seneca. Dan, somebody's taking over your title there, Dan from West Seneca.
Yeah, you know what? I heard that. I want to assure everybody that I'm the real thing.
The original one and only Dan from West Seneca. What do you think about what we're talking about today, Dan?
Okay, and I like your last little bit that you added, and I would like to pay tribute to a very good man.
Sure.
Who is a priest. He's elderly and in ill health today, and he was one of the biggest influences in my life, a true role model. But before that, I think this is a sad time for Catholicism. I think in the Buffalo Diocese, we're probably heading toward bankruptcy now. The floodgates will open. It's like putting chum in the water. The sharks are going to swarm in. And some of them will have valid complaints, and others will just be there for the money. And it might be now, since the church is on the ropes, that it'll be more affordable to settle any claim than to fight it. And it's terrible. It's terrible that a priest would ever commit that type of a crime, and there is no excuse for it, that I will say. But the way that this is being handled and the way that the funds are being dispersed and the design of the courts to allow a year open opportunity, we are a society that's focused on making money. And unfortunately, along with the valid claims of the abuse, you're going to find the scammers who are just there to make the money. And the church is going to hurt. And I hope that the damage is not permanent. I hope that they can recover, because their contribution throughout the centuries, not just in the recent past.
Yeah, I hope they don't move money around like some people might do to avoid having that money accessible to payouts, because that would be more cover-up to match up the other cover-up that started the whole thing.
Well, I don't think the diocese would have the ability to do that, because they have assets, and the assets can be attached.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, if they try and hide the assets, because I don't think you can go to Rome to collect them. I think they have to, I would guess, they have to be collected at least in the United States and maybe locally. I doubt very much if Rome is going to write any checks.
No, the Catholic Church is the original franchise system.
Yeah.
It is tiered such that you could never extract all the money from one entity. You could bankrupt one arm, and then it would just move to another.
Yeah, you know how when people are getting elderly and they want to deplete their assets so that they're eligible for some program that they wouldn't be if their full assets were revealed, that's the thing that concerns me.
Well, it's a matter of public record. Boston went bankrupt. Buffalo will go bankrupt.
Look what happened to Father Gagan in Boston.
Yeah, correct. This is a tragedy, and I'm a Catholic, and I have faith. And now I'd like to pay tribute to one of the best men I've ever met in my whole life.
Surely.
Was Father Kevin O'Neill.
Okay.
Senior Kevin O'Neill. He did his last permanent post, I think, was in Immaculate Conception in East Aurora, but I knew him for many years prior to that. And I can tell you that he was the most articulate. He was a very caring individual. He was tough. And me, I was kind of a punk kid. I was probably a problem child. And he put me on the straight and narrow. He taught me that you can be tough, but you can be a loving, caring human being, that you can be articulate and not be a sissy. And that you should have goals, and the only way to achieve them is to be focused. And he taught me a strong belief in God, and he was a true role model from the time that I was a child to the time when I was a soldier, to a time when I got divorced and I thought my world was coming to an end, and to a time now where I'm in retirement and unsure what to do with whatever I got left. His lessons are still there with me, and I never, ever experienced any of the occurrences that they're talking about in the media today.
Well, I'm glad you have those good positive feelings, and I'm sure most of the people do. I wish the church hadn't covered up, but you still have the good deeds like you just laid out there. Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. Yeah, I grew up in a small town. We had a small country parish. There were two priests there, Father Craven, Father Burke. Father Craven was the senior priest. He had been around a long time. And he was the stricter of the two, by the way. Father Burke was basically not much older than us. I found him to be a very, very nice and warm and friendly guy. And we had basketball courts there in the parking lot of the church. They used to take the altar boys to Boston every once in a while to go to a Boston Celtics game, and they, because I was friends with the Alton boys, they would take me too. I guess they felt sorry that I'd be left behind, but I was not an Alton boy. Great. Sometimes when I needed questions answered, I would go to Father Burke, who was a very affable and nice guy, but he could also be very strict. And so you knew you were going to get the straight scoop from him. And when a couple of times when I went looking for a little sympathy, I went to him and didn't get it, and that was the best advice I could have ever gotten. I kind of set you straight, because I think when you're in a Catholic household and you're a kid, you hold priests in very high esteem. You listen to priests probably quicker than you would listen to your mother and father. And so it was a good positive influence on me. And we kept in touch from time to time, not a lot, maybe once a year, maybe a card, maybe just a note. Last time I knew, he was in Worcester, Massachusetts. So he had a good positive effect on me, and my church had a good positive effect on me until I got older. There was nothing going on that I know of, certainly. And so I think he had a good responsible position that he fulfilled as a parish priest. We'll be back with more after this.
There are also cases against the Boy Scouts of America and several school districts. We have a number of school district cases that we are going to be bringing after a couple of weeks. We didn't want those school district cases to be shadowed by the massive amount of diocesan and other clergy cases. So we're going to be filing those in a few weeks.
You know, I'm thinking there's a price to be paid here and there's a price to be paid later for the things that were going on that we're talking about now with priests and young children. And think about it like this. If the priests really believed if they practice what they believe, let's put it this way, and they really believe it, then you have to imagine that there's a price to be paid for these priests right now, and there'll be a price to be paid later in the afterlife. But I think that price is small compared to the price that will be paid by the management of the church, shall we say? Okay. Right from the Pope on down, who knew what was happening and let it happen, did not stop it. They tried to keep it from being known, but there's not a lot of indication that they were willing to make it public until it was discovered. So it's one thing to do it here. It's another thing to be paying for it in the afterlife. So if I were a bishop or if I were a priest, certainly that committed one of those deeds, I would be very nervous right now, and rightfully so. Let's go to Bill in Eden. Bill, you're on WBEN.
Sandy, I have so much to say, it's almost hard to know where to begin. But to answer your question directly, yes, I still do have faith in the Catholic Church.
Good, okay.
Lifelong Catholic. I guess the question I would ask people is, are you going to leave Peter because of Judas? There were terrible things that were done many decades ago for most of them by representatives of the church. And that has nothing to do with what the mission of the church is and what the church teaches. These are things that those men on their own did that they're certainly responsible for, and they shouldn't be covered up. And when you also think our society, I'm not trying to give any kind of, to paint this lightly or anything, but our society was even different a few decades ago, 40 years ago. We didn't know what autism was back then. I think at the time when the church authorities would ask psychiatrists and such, how do we handle these things? The psychiatrist would tell them at the time, well, put these people into places where they would be rehabilitated, or maybe the thought back then was to reassign it. But that is definitely not the case now. And because I listened to what the bishop said, with his statement there, and I went to the buffalodiocese.org/protection website, and there are so many things listed there in all one place for people, and they even state that the most essential part of their response is a deepened commitment to care for the victims and to help them heal of these crimes that were committed by those representatives of the church. And it's a website that's, it's currently being, continually updated, but there is so much there. The bishop's statement is there. The Child Victims Act Frequently Asked Questions document is there, information about the Adult Sexual Abuse and Misconduct Task Force, and that whole charter for the protection of children and young children that the bishop talks about is there. The code of conduct is there. The policy booklet for the diocese is there.
I'm glad all those things are there for public scrutiny. My question is, why didn't they do it before it was discovered? It seems like they didn't do it until they were discovered. It reminds me of someone committing a crime and sentenced to jail, and in jail they find God. Now, God was available to them outside of jail, but it was only under the extreme conditions and the fact that they were being punished that they decided to do this. Why did they wait so long?
Well, again, like, I don't know exactly what the answer to that is. And I know that since 2002, when the Charter for the Protection for Children was put into effect, it certainly, I think we first heard this, like, there was like a Father Porter in Boston or something that made like 60 Minutes several years ago.
Well, there was Father Gagin in Boston that went to jail and then was slain by the other people in jail. That's a famous Boston case.
I found it interesting when the bishop was saying during his statement there that there was no priest ordained in the past 30 years that there have been any substantiated claims of sexual abuse.
I don't want to trivialize it, but it's almost like under new management. The church is the church, and that is solid with good, solid teaching, and people have faith in it, and that's a good thing. Gives them a lot to live for and ready for help whenever you needed it. The people that made the decisions, I consider just bad management. They put money ahead of the welfare of their own church. And that's where the problem arises.
I wonder if anyone would ever interview someone like a Bishop Manziel from the different diocese that he's in now. You know, say, why, when you were here, did nothing, you know, you know, that kind of a thing.
And it's true with a lot of them. They made business decisions. And I think that the church was under their management, but I think they lost track of what the church represented. Because if they hadn't lost track, they'd have stopped it dead in its tracks and could have saved future problems.
But as far as this bishop that we currently have, I have all kinds of confidence in Bishop Malone.
Well, that's good, good.
I mean, if you look at that website, everybody should go to buffalodiocese.org/protection and just look at the myriad of information that's there. A lot of things that people have presuppositions about aren't even accurate. If you read everything that's there, you can see the graphs of what was charted by these different priests back then that did those terrible things.
Well, let's hope this gets straightened out, because the church does too many good things for society to be swept under the rug because of some bad members of the church. I think we have to remember that. It's tough when you see former children still having those vivid memories of what happened. Very, very difficult. But I think we need a clean start and give the church a clean start with new people with fresh ideas. Hey, thank you, Bill. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Yeah, you can't just say, well, the church is a non-entity to me now because of this. This is the equivalent of anything. Think of any large factory, corporation, whatever. You think they don't have a small percentage of people who perhaps do bad things that we don't know about? Well, of course. But the key is, when you find out about them, it's up to the management, in this case, the Pope, the bishops, the cardinals, to stop it in its tracks. Because if you do, you're going to save future problems down the line. Some kids who were victimized is the best term I can think of. Some kids who were victimized might not have been victimized if they stopped it earlier, if they just stopped it dead in its tracks. Not only kicked them out from being priests, made sure that the district attorney knew what was going on and got charges against them. Those were crimes, okay? Doesn't make a difference if you're wearing a collar or not. If you committed a crime, you are to be held accountable. And they didn't do that. They hid it to protect the church and somewhat protect the person. Wrong thing, wrong time. We'll be back with more of Beach & Company. Do you still have faith in the Catholic Church? Does money make it better? And tell me something good about a priest. There's a lot of good things that have been done in your life, I'm sure. Share some with us so we kind of get a little balance here. I'm Beach & Company.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.